A very good morning to you all, and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland to our service of public worship. Today is Palm Sunday, and we celebrate how Jesus Christ triumphantly entered Jerusalem and brought peace to that city and nation. We wish to welcome all those who are worshiping with us for the first time or doing so after a long while. You are welcome to join us after the service in our church hall for teas and coffees, and probably cakes and biscuits and other niceties of life. This morning we have my brother Peter, and with our own Alison, they will be talking about the idea. It's about try praying. We will watch a short video, and they'll give us a short talk. You are very welcome.
Good morning, everyone. I think you know me. I'm Alison Haywood. I've been here for such a long time, I'm sure most of you know me. And as Amos has said this morning, with my friend Peter here, who's going to introduce himself, we're going to be talking about the Try Praying campaign, which is taking place currently in Scotland and nationwide, and you may have seen the buses and things around. I followed a bus up Dens Road the other day. Try praying on the back. I was so excited to see that. So I'm going to let Peter introduce himself, then we'll show the short video, and then we're going to speak to one or two members of the congregation, just what praying means to them.
Hello.
Good morning, everyone. This is the first time I've been in this church, and thank you very much for your warm welcome. I'm here because I want to say thank you. Thank you that throughout the 2 years of the pandemic, the words try praying have been on your banner, helping and encouraging people, and for up to 5 years before that, I hear. I also want to say thank you because I know you are a praying church and you pray for one another, and I want to say thank you for praying for me as I've been unwell. It's been amazing to see God answering prayer. My wife Tricia and I moved here almost 4 years ago to the day. We'd been GPs in Aberdeen. I think I might have met you, some of you, when you came up to Foveran Parish Church when Ken Pride was inducted as minister, because Tricia and I were in the Church of Scotland at Foveran there. Anyway, I came here 4 years ago and was due to start a job as a GP here in Newport and teaching at St Andrews. But within a few months, I became very unwell with a rare chest infection. I almost died, and I needed to have constant oxygen for over 6 months, as well as a lot of medication. And most of all, I needed people praying for me. As I was recovering, I used to walk very slowly around the village. I had a yellow backpack on and I had an oxygen cylinder in it. And one day I was walking past Waterston Crook car park and Amos saw me, and we hadn't seen each other for a long time. We'd done some training together in the Church of Scotland. And he stopped me there then after he'd got his children into Waterston Crook. And he said, "Brother, please, can I pray for you?" And right there then, in the middle of the Waterston Crook car park, you prayed for me, Amos, and I am so grateful. Slowly, I got better, and God has been trying to teach me something about the power of prayer. I've never been much of a praying person. I've been much more of a doing person. But God's been teaching me that His power will be made perfect in my weakness. And so, as the pandemic started, we live in Cooper Road, and we got together with a few others in Cooper Road, Howard and Diane Stevenson, who used to go to the steeple and have moved away, the McCowans, Sheila Johnson, and Alison. Alison got to join because she's the elder in Cooper Road. Later, more people came to join. Chris and Katie came, and then a whole number of people who live locally from other churches came to join us, from Dundee to St Andrews, other churches of Scotland, City Church Dundee, and Vineyard churches. And we've been so encouraged about God worked when we started to try praying. We shared sadnesses together. We prayed about houses, we prayed about health, we prayed about jobs, we prayed about children and elderly relatives. Sometimes prayers weren't answered the way we'd hoped, but in the main, we were astonished, humbled, and overjoyed at the answers to prayer. You'll hear some of the stories later, and if you don't hear them today, do speak to somebody and ask them how you can hear the story. Anyway, let's hear about this project which is going on throughout Scotland, and we're going to see a video now from David Hill, who's launching this project, Try Praying.
Try Praying is an invitation for people who aren't religious and don't do church to begin talking with God. And it began as a chance conversation with somebody that I met several years ago, who explained that a relative had become a Christian because they'd been given a 40-day prayer guide. It was just a little light bulb moment. Why don't we write a prayer guide for people who aren't religious and don't do church? I looked around, nobody had done one, so I ended up writing it. So Try Praying is a prayer guide, a simple prayer guide for people who are not religious and don't do church. 7 days, and it's got stories of answered prayer, it's got things they can do, they can pray about their own big issue, and crucially, it helps a person to begin to trust Christ with their lives.
The idea of the Try Praying booklet is to use it and to lose it. It's a 7-day prayer guide that's for people within church and for people without, for people who believe in God and for people who don't. Use it yourself first to become familiar with it, and then look for that God-given opportunity to pass it on to someone. That can be a friend, a neighbour, or even someone that you just bump into, so that you can say, try praying for a week and see what happens. You never know what could happen as a result.
So Try Praying is three things. It's a booklet to give away, it's a project for a church, and it's a multi-church project for a town or a city. The booklet to give away, sharing with friends and relatives. It's a project for a church with this use it and lose it idea. And it's a multi-church project when it goes into the public space and people see it and start asking questions, what's this all about?
Over recent years, there have been advertising campaigns that have put Try Praying into the public space. One way has been through bus adverts that have made Try Praying visible in towns and cities. Along with this, churches have been putting up the Try Praying banner, showing the unity of churches working together. All this makes for a large, visible impact. As Try Praying has grown, it has become more and more available. There's a booklet for children, there's a booklet for young people, one for prisoners, and there's now an app, making it globally accessible. Try Praying began in Edinburgh, but has now grown across Scotland, the UK, and other countries.
But the thing that really excites us are the stories that come back of God at work in people's lives.
I saw a banner saying Try Praying, and I thought to myself, well, why not? Something changed for me in that moment. It was like a light being switched on.
Try Praying has brought the churches in our town together.
The booklet helped me find God. Since I started praying, God has done so much in my life.
It is one of the most effective ways I know of engaging a whole region in the opportunity to draw near to God.
So the thing about this is it's an invitation for everybody to begin doing life with God, so that when a person prays the weakest and wobbliest of prayers, that God would move in and transform their lives. Try Praying.
Sarah, could I get you to? So I'm just going to have a wee chat now with two or three members of the congregation just about this whole subject of praying. So I'm just going to say, what does praying mean to you? What's it done in your life? And just a brief 2 or 3 sentences.
Okay, yeah, just, well, as a Christian from a child, obviously I've always prayed, but I would say it's always been quite erratic. And I would say over the last couple of years since, well, basically I was diagnosed with breast cancer sort of about 2 years ago, just before lockdown. So I think over the last 2 or 3 years between lockdown and COVID, there's been quite a growing curve in terms of going through quite a hard time for me and for the family. I've got to get emotional now. So I think, as on the back of what Peter was saying, it was lovely because Peter set up this Cooper Road prayer group, Zoom group, and it was, I was very aware that a lot of people were praying for me and praying for my health. And actually now is a good opportunity to say thank you. But yeah, so I think on the back of Peter setting that up, I was very aware people were praying for me, my family, my friends, you know, my family's churches. And I think we wanted, Colin and I did feel, you know, there's that sense of giving something back as well to the community, and the community going through such a hard time with COVID, with everybody going through such a hard time. So we very much felt we wanted to join the Zoom prayer group and pray for others as people were praying for us. And I think, you know, we have, as Peter said, seen a lot of answers to prayer through that. And I mean, personally for myself, I had the 6 chemo, I felt rotten at the end of them. But when I went for that scan at the end of those 6 chemo, there was no sign of cancer in my body at all. I'd had what they termed a full response. So that was just something to be so thankful for. You know, obviously went through another sort of, you know, there was surgery and there was radiotherapy, and I carried on having further treatments. But, you know, just so thankful for that healing. And I do fully believe that the prayers and the good wishes I feel, the people who are non-Christians who don't realise they're praying, which came into that video a little bit there, I think there's a lot of thoughts and good wishes that have come my way, and likewise for other people and for other things that are going on. And I think, you know, moving on to the modern day situation, we've come to a certain extent through COVID, but with Ukraine and that situation, I think there's an awful lot of prayers that are needed there. And I think it's hard to pray for something like Ukraine because you feel like you're such a small voice, but if we all do that, then it makes a difference. So that's kind of a bit my personal story.
Well,
so we're in a much better.
Not easy.
I didn't know whether I was going to talk about that, but that's what.
Yeah, well, that's the way it's come out.
Yeah,
it?
And so I think much. We're in a much better routine in ourselves now. We are praying more, and you know, thank you.
Thank you so much, Sarah. Okay. So I'd like just to have a brief word from you, Anne, too, about praying in your life and what it means to you. If you could just take a couple of minutes.
Okay. Thanks for the opportunity. I have to say, 2 minutes to tell a lifetime of prayer, seeking God's will. That was a lovely witness, wasn't it? Just fantastic. Thank you. I'm emotional for her. Sorry. No, I have little notes here because I tend to pray, and I mean, it's been a discovery over my whole life. And it's very personal. I'm not suggesting it for everybody, but I tend to use scripture. And that's the reason I've got my notebook, because I never trust remembering. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall make your path straight. The other one, Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man who puts his trust in the Lord. We go to Psalm 44. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust. Many years ago, this is a personal share. Many years ago, I had to make a decision. Stay in the States, which I had a job, I had a home, I had a life. And I have to say it was a good life. But something told me I wanted to come home, preferably to raise my 2 children. So what do? Should I leave? Should I come home? I had no idea what was the right thing to do. I did pray a lot, and I discovered a prayer this is why I want to share it with you. Sometimes we just don't know which way to go. I asked the Lord to close the door. I had decided to come home to Scotland. And I asked him, close the door if that's not the correct. Well, that's, 40-odd years ago. So here I am, and I have to say, he has cared for myself and my family. So just encourage you, try. I'm sure you all pray in a certain way, but it's an ongoing lifetime discovery. God loves you. Jesus died for us. So surely he's going to take care of you. Just give it a try. And that little book, the last thing, finally, that I'll share. A lady in our street, very, very upset, very worried, hadn't been to church. I don't know if she ever went to church. It took courage. I put that little book into her letterbox with a note. And I just said, just give it a try. I received a lovely answer. It helped her. Her husband died, but it has kept her going. So just have a look at that little book. And it's a wonderful book. I can't recommend it enough. And pass it on. I've sent two to the States. I haven't had a reply, but hey-ho, I'm sure they'll read it. Just an encouragement, folks. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Alison. So have you all got the book? Can you hold the book up? So you'll see what this is. This is a booklet that you can go to somebody and say, try praying for 7 days and see what will happen. But it's more than just that, because over the whole of Scotland, every single council area bus company will have the Try Praying logo. It's on churches throughout the whole of Scotland, and even on the ticket barriers in Glasgow Queen Street and Waverley and Haymarket Station, those barriers are there with the Try Praying logo. And people are seeing them. And as people are coming out of the pandemic, they're having all sorts of questions. So you could actually help them to meet God by using this book. So the aim is, you have this book and you use it yourself for a week. And you just read it, a couple of pages each day. It's got some really interesting, stimulating questions. But during that week, think about who you could give that book to that might really benefit from that. And so pray for that person. And at the end of the week, I'd like you to lose it, to give that away to somebody else and say, try praying for 7 days and see what happens. And then get in touch with them after 7 days and see what God has done in their life. It's really especially for people who don't go to church and who don't think they're religious. So if somebody says, oh, I don't pray because I don't go to church and I'm not religious, you say, this is just the book for you. So thank you very much.
I'm just going to finish off with a quote from Pete Gregg, who started the 24/7 prayer movement however many years ago, wrote a wonderful book called How to Pray, which I highly recommend. It's just a slim little book and it's so readable. Keep it simple, keep it real, and keep it up. Thank you very much.
On behalf of the congregation, I would really like to sincerely thank Peter and Alison. I think you could notice when you were speaking that you caught the attention of the whole congregation. It means we are quite interested in what you've been talking about. I think that one of the things that are really absent in most historic mission churches, like the Church of Scotland, the Roman Catholic Church, the Methodists, and others, is that we do not really share our testimonies about what God is doing in our lives. But this is a very powerful thing in the missionary agenda of Pentecostal and other new religious movements. In one of the sections of my PhD thesis, I spoke about the power of testimony and the testimony of power. And I think one of the things about Try Praying is reading about the testimonies that people make and how these have become powerful tools for their own Christian lives. So we are greatly encouraged to learn from this and also to be able to promote this whole aspect of prayer, which is a core value for the Christian faith. So thank you again, and God bless you.
Our call to worship this morning is taken from Psalm 24, reading verses 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, lift them up, ye ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he? this King of glory. The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. Amen. Let us stand to sing our first hymn from CH4, number 364, All Glory, Lord, and Honor.
Are there any children in church? At least two. Children of the manse. Welcome to Sunday worship. How are you this morning? I'm sure your friends are all on vacation, so that's why they are not here this morning. Today is a special day in the life of the Christian church. Do you know? Why? Why is today special? Yes, Ariel? Into into Jerusalem when Jesus entered Jerusalem triumphantly. And what's that day called? Yes, Gilead? Palm Sunday. Why is it called Palm Sunday? Yes, Ariel. When he arrived, people were waving palm branches and they were singing a very beautiful song, or many songs, welcoming the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I don't know whether we've sung this song in this congregation. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Do you know that song? Okay, we are going to try. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Again, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who cometh. Comest, blessed is he who comest in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Blessed is he who comest, comest, blessed is he who comest in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Hosanna. Blessed is he that comest, comest, blessed is he that comest in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Now, when you are expecting a very important visitor, of course, all visitors are important, what do you do? What do you do when you are preparing to receive, when you want to receive an important visitor? What do you do? Yes, Gilead? You prepare everything nicely. What an answer. You don't just prepare, but you prepare nicely, meaning that, for example, you take off all the cobwebs if there are some in the house, make every place tidy and clean, beautiful. In the case of Jesus, people prepared in such a way that those who had palm fronds to wave, they waved them, put them on the ground for him to walk past them. Some even removed their dresses and put on the ground for him to walk past those dresses in honor of the Almighty King. Now, we are not going to have Jesus walking into Newport on Tay, are we? No. But Jesus walks into our hearts. So how can we prepare to receive Jesus? By preparing our hearts. By accepting him as our King, our Lord, and our Savior, and by determining that we will do all that he asks us to do from the pages of Scripture. So as we celebrate Palm Sunday and begin this Holy Week, let us open our hearts so that Jesus Christ can come in and live with us. We will sing Hosanna once again before the next hymn. Hosanna, 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 Hosanna. Blessed is he that cometh, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, more than 2,000 years ago, you entered Jerusalem triumphantly and spoke peace to that nation. We thank you, O Father, that through Jesus Christ, we continue to enjoy relative peace in the world, but we ask for more. We pray as we prepare also to receive him into our hearts on this Palm Sunday and to walk with him to the cross during Holy Week. Let your blessings be upon us. Open our hearts and especially the hearts of our children, as young as they are, to receive you, our God and our King. Amen. Our next hymn, Jesus' Love is Very Wonderful.
Thank you. Our first reading this morning is from Zechariah chapter 9, reading verses 9 to 12. The coming of Zion's king. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to you your fortress, O prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. And our second reading this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 19, reading from verse 11 to 16. The rider on the white horse. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen, and may God add his blessings to these readings of his holy word. We will now continue our service by singing hymn 367, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna.
Let us pray. O Lord, our God, make us perfect in Jesus Christ. Out of his fullness, may we all receive and remain with him always. May his passion be our deliverance, his wounds our healing, his cross our redemption, and his death our life. And suffering with him here, let us reign with him afterwards, and bearing now his cross, may we afterwards wear his crown. We bow down before you, Lord, confessing our unworthiness and our sin. You sent your Son to show us the way of life, yet we have erred from it continually. You have shown him to us as King, and we have seen his glory, yet while praising him with our lips, we have not been loyal to him with our lives. We have followed our own pleasures. We have refused the way of the cross. Take away from us, O God, our sins which separate us from you, that with pure hearts and cleansed lips we may come before you and celebrate our service joyfully and praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Yes, sisters and brothers in Christ, in our New Testament text, in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, Jesus Christ is portrayed in a series of colorful pictures to reveal his power and authority and to show him as the one who holds all things together and who is the judge of the world. For example, at the beginning, we see him walking among seven lampstands, which are symbols of seven churches. In other words, he is portrayed patrolling the church on earth. Then we see him sharing the throne of God in heaven. And then as a lion in majesty, holding in his right hand a sealed scroll, that is the book of destiny. We see him receiving the worship of heaven and directing the affairs on the earth. We see him coming in glory to judge the world and coming as a bridegroom to claim the bride, which is the church on earth or the church terrestrial. And here in Revelation 19, we see Jesus in that vision of riding on a white horse, where he is called King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our text begins with the opening of the door in heaven. Something special is about to be revealed to John. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. So what John sees is a horse, but he is more interested in the rider on the horse who is called Faithful and True. And his characteristics are as follows. His eyes are like a blazing fire because he knows everything about us. And he is the judge who judges against evil and makes wars against everything that is evil and destructive. And with him are many crowns because he rules with authority. At verse 13, he is wearing a blood-stained robe because he carries with him the achievements of his blood shedding or death on the cross. And at verse 14, the heavenly armies are following him, riding horses themselves and wearing fine linen, white and clean. At verse 15, out of his mouth a sword comes to judge all the nations. He wields an iron scepter in his hand, and on his robe and on his thigh he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The imagery in Revelation 19 from verse 11 and the names King of Kings and Lord of Lords reminds us of the authority of Jesus Christ as the one who rules the world. As we celebrate Palm Sunday today, it's about his reign and power and great glory and authority to judge the world. For more than 2,000 years ago, he walked the streets of Jerusalem triumphantly and received great honor and acclamation. He will judge the world in righteousness and peace. But earthly kings and rulers are not like our King. They are always conscious of their power and authority. They get intoxicated and corrupted by their own power and fame. Kings, emperors, and dictators become authoritative and aim to amass territory, to subjugate people, and may demand a total allegiance of their subjects. Dear Christian friends, the world is still trying to come to terms with the carnage that is going on in Ukraine. Since late February of this year, when President Putin sent his troops into that country in an attempt to conquer and rule Ukraine. His assault on that nation was preceded by a decree he signed declaring two regions of the country as independent countries. Today, Russian and Ukrainian soldiers, innocent women, men, and children of the Ukrainian people are dying daily because of the ambition of a personality who wants to conquer the world and to be seen as king and almighty ruler. Of course, we know that heavy artillery and other weaponry would help Ukraine to defend the integrity of their country. But we Christian people trust that only Jesus Christ can cut down to size the ambitions of authoritative and autocratic leaders who destroy democratic values, kill citizens of other countries, and expose their own citizens to untimely death and create rising insecurity in our world. The portrait of holy war in Revelation 19 reminds us that Jesus is the all-powerful one with whom the final vindication of justice lies. Although we must do our best to work for justice, peace, and mercy, we cannot realistically fulfill the post-millennial vision of establishing God's kingdom on earth. Rather, our omnipotent Lord, riding on a horse, will settle these matters when he returns again in the parousia. My dear friend, in this world, we do not win all the battles that we face, whether individually or as nation states. But when our Lord Jesus Christ comes, nothing can stand against him. The wicked will be punished, and the oppressed and righteous ones will be vindicated. But while we wait for his coming, let us not become comfortable with the partial blessings of this age when our lives are relatively peaceful. Let us live in love and in peace with one another, and let us show solidarity with the suffering people of the world. Let us pray that the reign of God will come soon to save us from the tyranny of earthly dictators in this passing world. Long live the King of Kings, King Jesus, and the Lord of Lords. Let us pray. Our dear Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for speaking to us through this message. We pray, O Father, that you would bring peace to our world as we commemorate that wonderful time when you entered Jerusalem triumphantly and spoke peace to that nation. Let that peace, your peace which passes all understanding, be felt again in our world. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our next team, ride on in majesty.
Let us bring before God our prayers for the offering and for the world and ourselves. Let us pray. Loving Lord, today we remember Jesus' triumphant ride from the Mount of Olives as he obediently gave up everything so that we could have a life worthy of your calling. Grant us the courage and determination to be more obedient disciples, and to increase our generosity, to share more of our time, our talents, and our wealth. Lord, accept our gifts today, and multiply and use them to grow your kingdom here on earth. Amen. As we recall again Jesus riding into Jerusalem, let us gather our thoughts and concerns for the church, the world, and ourselves, and place them like the scattered palms before our Lord this day. Let us pray. Father, as the crowds welcomed Jesus and sang your praises, we pray that many more will welcome you into their hearts and lives this Easter time. We pray for your church worldwide, carrying a gospel of forgiveness and freedom into a world marred by aggression and suspicion. We pray that your church may grow and flourish, protected from evil within and without, that in worship and ministry, God's love may be brought into places of darkness and offer many the light of hope contained within the Easter message. We pray for our national church, our cluster, and our own congregation as we enter into a new era, heralded by significant change and local reorganisation within Fife Presbytery. We pray for our minister Amos and his work among an ever-increasing ministry in North Fife. And remember Lord Bill and Philip, both undertaking supportive roles with our neighbours in Tayport. We ask your blessing on the Try Praying initiative. Those engaged and benefiting with the practice, and those still seeking, still searching, may it open a door, Lord, to a rich and fulfilling witness. And give us all the courage and the willingness to be your witnesses in this place. Fill us with your love, so that our community will know of your undoubted existence through the influence of our words and our deeds. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, we recall the donkey Jesus rode on, and we pray that the same humility will grow in our hearts. A humility that treats status and image casually, and truth and loving more seriously. We pray that all in positions of power, authority and influence in our world may recognize their calling to servanthood and never lose their identity with the needs and the longings of those they serve. We pray for all who are fighting against evil, for goodness, truth and justice, both in those situations which make the news and those battles known only unto you, Lord. We pray for Ukraine, for those who defend it and those who have fled, displaced by the bombing and the senseless destruction of their homeland. We pray, Lord, for a cessation to the fighting, a resolution to the conflict, and peace and freedom to replace devastation and impose curfew. We pray for the refugees, tired and confused, and those many charities and families who have so selflessly received them into their own country, city, town, and home. We thank you, Lord, for the support shown worldwide to such reckless aggression at both political and public levels, for sanctions imposed, the monies raised, and the many needs met. Father, in all the clashes of needs and want, the half-forgotten hurts that drive aggression, the half-remembered grievances barbed with revenge, in all the world's raging and protesting, let your spirit of peace and reconciliation prevail. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, the children sang and shouted your praises, and we pray for your protection on all children throughout the world. Lord, protect them from those who would inflict harm or benefit financially from their exploitation, through physical or mental abuse, neglect, child labour, trafficking, inflicted bodily mutilation child marriage, and sacrifice. Father, we pray for all the charities and aid organisations who care for the young and vulnerable at home and overseas. And Lord, we lift you this day the work of Christian Aid, World Vision, Save the Children, and Oxfam. For all those in positions of trust, for childminders, playgroups and schools, for children's clubs and the uniformed organisations, for all who provide loving nurture and protection from harm, we ask your blessing, Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father, the crowds were responding to the healing love they had seen in action through Jesus. We bring before you in our love and faith those we would ourselves have brought to Jesus for healing and help. We pray for those who are ill or suffering, at home or in hospital, some in our church, some in our wider circle of friends and family. In a moment of silence, we still our hearts and bring them before you now. Lord, lay your hands upon them so they may know the support of your presence and find wholeness and peace in your love. And loving Lord, we remember the elderly faithful and especially those who are in self-isolation or remain housebound and cannot join us to worship in person. We thank you for their continued example and ask you to increase our love for one another across the age groups. Eternal God, in your unchanging love, receive all those who have died in faith, that they may rejoice in you forever, and comfort those left behind, that they too may know your holy presence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving Lord, you came to give us life and laid down your own life to bring us back to God. Help us this day to live as those who have been given the glorious liberty of the children of God. May we, with your help, live our lives in gratitude and joy as we think of all that you have done for us. And may we go out from this service with that joy in our hearts. Merciful God, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
If you are able, please rise and together let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Bring our service to a close as we sing 459, Crown Him with Many Crowns.
Thank you.
Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.